Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all-business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Mind Your Biz Today is brought to you by Vistage, the world's leading CEO organization whose member companies outperform the market. Visit Vistage.com today.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're so happy to be a new member of the family of 880 The Biz. This is Janie Smith. Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today with business tips, business interviews, and all kinds of good practices that you can practice to become more profitable in the years to come, in the months to come, and stay healthy during the recession. Last program, we talked about competitive advantages and if you have them, and if you don't, and how to uncover them. And by the way, these are going to be available streaming live on the website, so you'll be able to catch up with us. So now I want to talk about dangerous disparities. There's a chapter in my book, Creating Competitive Advantage, which has been out a few years, and it's a bestseller. It's just in its 10th reprint, and we're just very excited about that. But it's a very, very important book for today's world, and I want to talk about dangerous disparities. Dangerous disparities is also the topic of my next book, but I want to talk about the one that's prevalent in the first book. There are several things that we talk about that we have to watch, and one is that you have to be careful that you have on your executive team, inside the company, internal agreement about what matters. Now, let me tell you a little bit of fun I have when I go out on the road, and I spend a lot of time on the road, a lot of time in airplanes, visiting clients and companies of all sizes all over the United States and some of them in Europe. So one of the things we do is we come in and we say, look, we've done some research. We found out what your customers and prospects value most when they buy your product or when they buy your service. And we always ask the executive team, let's say we've got 10 or 12 people sitting around the conference table. Before we tell you, the executive team, what your customers value most, would you do us a favor? Here's the 20 things we've tested. Would you give us your best guess? What do you think are the top three things your customers want from you? Well, from that, we've discovered so many dangerous disparities. The first one is the internal team is not in agreement with each other. If you have 15 people in the boardroom or the conference room when you're asking this question, and you get 15 different answers, what does that tell you about your company? Internal disagreement about what's important to the customer. I always say to them, what's the number one competitive advantage? What do you think the customers value when they buy from you from your perspective? What do they think it is from your employees who are not here today? What would they say it is? And more importantly, what do your customers think it is? Now, mind you, when we go in there, we've got the answer. We've got the research from the customers. So the internal disagreement can cause problems, but more importantly, the executive team is 95% of the time, I repeat, 95% of the time not in alignment with what the customer values. So let's talk about the first one first, the internal disagreement. I'll give you an example. We had a winemaking company we worked with last year, and it was interesting because the salespeople all said that the number one thing that customers valued was the post-sale support. Well, why wouldn't I say that? I'm in sales, and I think that's important because that's my job. Well, the management thought it was other things like accuracy of shipping, and that was important, but it wasn't number one. And the thing that was number one was absolute shock to the CEO because he had never heard it before. Now, for you and I, once I tell you, it sounds like it's common sense, but not always. Sometimes the thing that's right under our noses, we don't see. The number one thing that customers buying these winemaking kits wanted was to know the freshness of the grapes. Where do these grapes come from? How do I know that I'm getting the freshest batches? And how do I know you're picking the best vineyards? Well, this company made great efforts and worked really hard at getting the freshest grapes and picking the best vineyards, and they had very high standards and criteria. But they never communicated to their customers the thing that they valued most in their buying decision. And not everybody on the team agreed. So first you've got salespeople thinking their job's most important, and then you've got production thinking their job's most important, and then you've got customer service thinking their job's most important. And I like to say to companies, guess what? Not all employees are created equal in response to the customer's demands. Got an air conditioning company, once we found out that the single most important thing that was valued was their ability to respond to emergencies. So who do you think's more important in that company, the response technicians or the customer service rep? Well, clearly it's the response technician. So do we put our training dollars there? Do we talk about how much we train them? And do we make sure that our response technicians are 100% accountable for what they do? So the internal disagreement must get into alignment. But out of the three perspectives, yours, your employees, and your customers, which is the only one that counts, clearly the customer's perspective. So we've got to find out what our customers value, and we have to make sure that internal agreement is that we're all singing from the same page. We all know whatever that thing is, we're all delivering it. And more importantly, another thing that market research can unveil for you, and I'm a big proponent, by the way, I have to stop and talk for a second about double-blind market research. Lots of companies will invest in customer service surveys. Customer service surveys are great. They're good report cards. They tell you how you're doing, but they don't necessarily give you the best unbiased information about what attributes matter in the customer's buying decision. So we want to make sure that we provide for our sales force the very thing that the customers value, and that our internal investments and corporate disciplines surround that. Let me tell you about a steel company we worked with. Steel company had 15 people in the boardroom when we showed up, and we said, what's your number one competitive advantage? And they said, well, our number one competitive advantage is we have more inventory than anybody out there. So we said, that's fine, let's go see if that matters. So we tested it, we came back, and we found out that inventory was rated as number 8, the 8th attribute of importance, yet half the executive team thought that was the single most important thing. Well, what was important? The thing that was most important was accuracy and completeness of documentation. If I'm your customer, I can't build anything with that steel that comes my way if you've got the documentation screwed up. And apparently in the industry, it was becoming a problem. So let's say we're at the beginning of the recession now. This is a couple of years ago, and we're looking for a place to get rid of some manpower. So we're going to lay off. Oh, I know. We've got 4 or 5 admins in the documentation department. Let's cut half of them. Well, what if we've done that? We didn't even have feedback from the customers. If we didn't, we might have cut the most important department in the company. We can't afford to do that. So these internal decisions and resource allocations for any business rely very heavily on that. So if you're in a company, regardless of if you're senior management, middle management, or sales, you have to work hard to make sure that your team is in alignment relative to these things. And the more you get these alignments set eyeball to eyeball with the customer's desires, the more your close rates will go up, and the more profit you'll have because you won't need to cave in on price. People will pay for value when they know what value they are receiving. Value is very important. You know, I like to say, if you go into a store and you buy some electronics, I'm not very electronically minded personally, but let's say you go in and you're looking at 3 different, stereos. And, are they even called that anymore? So we're looking at 3 stereos. I can't keep up with how fast things are moving. And they all look alike. So 3 different stereos the salesperson shows you, and they all look exactly alike. So what's your next question? Your next question is, okay, what's the price? And what do we pick? The lowest price. Why? Because they all looked exactly the same. If, however, the salesman says to you, this one has something those two don't have, and here's what it is. And he talks about, you know, the ability to hear it in the next room at the same level. And again, I'm not an electronic person, but he gives you three or four features that mean something to you. Are you willing to pay for it? Sure. If those things are important to you, we'll always pay more. But I noticed that very few organizations and very few salesmen focus on showing those product differentiations. Now, I got to share with you a wonderful story. First, I want to share with you a great competitive advantage and something that I saw recently as I was out car shopping. This is a terrific example of competitive advantage. I was out looking at Hyundai Genesis. I'd seen an ad in the paper that just caught my attention because it's so communicated competitive advantages. And I just want to read it to you. Just think about Hyundai. The Hyundai Genesis is bigger with more interior room and a larger engine, better quality and safety than the BMW 5 Series, the Lexus GS Series, and the E-Class Mercedes. In fact, it earned the best safety scores. Well, that's pretty amazing. That's a great competitive advantage. It talks about value. It compares itself to other luxury products. Hyundai is brilliant in how they're trying to get into that genre. And I got to tell you, so I was so enamored by this because I love when companies can do a good job with competitive advantages. So I went out there, test drove a Hyundai, and the salesman did something I thought was really, really smart. Not only was he able to show me all the features of the car, which a lot of times salespeople can't, not just in cars, but in other products, but he opened the car door, he pointed to the speaker, and he says to me, look at this, we have Lexmore speakers. You know these speakers are only available in two cars. I said, really, what two cars? And that's what he was waiting for. And he said, the Rolls-Royce and the Genesis. Loved it. I said, I'm going to buy this car just because you're such a good salesman. So anyway, I got to tell you, those are the kinds of things that make a difference when closing the sales. And we're talking about dangerous disparity. So if you have internal disagreement on what matters, you got to get that in alignment. Corporate disciplines and internal investments. You've got to know what the customer values so you know where to put your resources. And another thing, this is one that's really important. When we get research back, and we've done this, as I've said, we've analyzed research for hundreds of companies, and one thing has emerged. Prospects and customers buy from you for different reasons, yet most of us have the same message. We use the same message for our prospects as we do our existing customers. That is not effective. Prospects who have never had experience with you or your product or service value something very different. They don't know because they haven't experienced perhaps your ability to give free consulting or your ability to deliver on time. They don't value it, but the customers who've had experience with some of the things you give them find it much more meaningful. You need two different messages. I think about one company that provided all kinds of depths and breadths of inventory for their customers and free consulting on the phone on how to use their product. Well, prospects did not value those things nearly as high as existing customers. It makes sense. Think about it. Customers are using it. Customers have gotten dependent on that extra advice from the company. Prospects don't know yet the value of it because they haven't used it. But prospects have fear about other things before they make that buying decision. So you have to make sure in your sales encounter and in your messaging that you build confidence and remove risk in the buying decision. And that's going to make a big difference with your ability to close. So again, you want to avoid dangerous disparities. You want to make sure you're in alignment with what the customer values. The other thing that comes up repeatedly, and we'll talk about this in a minute, is most companies are selling ABC, attributes ABC, and customers are buying DEF. How do we find out about that? We'll get back to that right after the break. We're going to break now. Thank you to our sponsor, Vistage. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
As the CEO, are you avoiding tough decisions? How can you do more with less? Who do you turn to for real advice? What do 14,000 companies who have unparalleled access to new business perspectives, innovative strategies, and actionable ideas have in common? Vistage. Vistage is the world's leading CEO organization who offers their members business coaching benefits not available anywhere else. To see if you qualify for membership in Vistage, Florida, contact Chip Webster at 1-800-733-4832 or visit Vistage.com today.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
Okay, thanks for coming back after the break, and I just want to keep my promise. I had told you after the break we would talk a little bit about the difference between selling ABC when customers are buying DEF. There's another bit of research we've done for over 100 companies in the past year, actually several hundred companies, but specifically my statistically valid sample size of 100 companies. We've gone back, and as I said earlier, we always ask the executive team or the sales team, whoever we happen to interact with, to guess what the top three things are their customers value. So not only is the executive team not in agreement with each other, but worse yet, they're not in agreement with what the customer actually values. So what do you think happens if your sales pitch, your marketing message, your advertising message is out there touting ABC? You should buy from us because of our on-time delivery and turnaround time. And guess what? I don't care about that. I care about something different. So I like to say it simply, we sell ABC, they're buying DEF, and we're not talking to them about DEF. So what do you think? What do you think the percentage of companies that guess right when we say, please guess the top three attributes your customers value? To date, 95% have gotten it wrong. Less than 5% guess what their customers value. And those who have guessed, actually recently in the last year, I've had two companies guess the top three attributes. We were pleasantly surprised, but they were dismayed because they knew the top three things their customers valued, but guess what they didn't do? They didn't communicate it to their customers. They said, we do all that, we deliver all that, but gee, we're not selling it, we're not talking about it. So I see a lot of companies keeping their best competitive advantages as the company's best kept secret. It won't work for you if it is your best kept secret. You've got to make sure that you're selling to them what they ask for, and specifically almost in order that they're asking for it. I have a tour operator company we've worked with, for example. This is really interesting. This is a great example. I love this story. This is a great example of a company that got in alignment, and they weren't. This company, and I'll even give you their name, Big Five. They're up in Stuart, Florida. They're a wonderful tour wholesaler. Big Five packages tours that they sell to travel agents who sell to you and me. It's a high-end luxury tour company, and they had thought originally that the number one thing their customers valued were their awards. They're very definitely an award-winning company. They've won Travel and Leisure Magazine Awards every year. They've won National Geographic, number one high-end tour wholesaler. Well, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Well, it may be impressive, but is it part of a buying criteria? So we did the research. We went out and we said to travel agents, when you choose a tour operator to buy your packages from to sell to your customers, what's most important to you? Well, guess where awards came in out of a list of 20 attributes? Travel agents rated it 20 out of 20. Imagine that. My poor client, here they are advertising it all over the place. And it's not really a major buying decision. Is it impressive? You bet. Is it a buying criteria? Not near the top. So let me tell you what was at the top, and let me tell you what is at the top of most companies today. Research coming back from a lot of different industries says that the number one thing that companies want to see is financial stability. Well, that makes sense. We didn't used to see that. We didn't see financial stability as a top attribute in research until the recession. Does it make sense? Sure it does. Think about it. You're a tour operator. I just sold a family of five a safari, and they've plopped down $40,000, $50,000. Am I going to be sleeping at night because my tour operator who's put the package together is financially stable or unstable? Well, financial stability matters. That's who I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose the company that can convince me they're financially stable. Well, Big Five was very smart. They had a number of ways to prove that to their tour operators, and they did. And they also had, for the travelers, the thing that they wanted most was attention to detail. and they wanted to know that Big Five knew everything there was to know about the destination I was traveling to. Well, they have something remarkable called the White Glove Service. You can be in the jungles or on the Amazon and have something go wrong, get sick, have to contact someone, and they are there 24/7. They will arrange for everything and anything you need. They tell me these great stories. Somebody didn't like their hotel room. They had it comped in a, you know, the president's suite the next day. They take care of passengers like no company you've ever seen. But they didn't know how to market that or how to communicate that because they originally did not have the feedback from customers. So you can avoid dangerous disparities by investing a little bit of money in some good customer research and getting aligned with your customer, getting aligned with your management team, and getting, more importantly, marketing and advertising dollars, whatever your message is, how are you spending that? Are you spending it wisely? We've got to be able to do that. So, companies think they know what their customers value in their buying decision, but more than 95% of the time, they can't. And I want to talk a little bit about the market research. How is that done? I always talk to clients, and some of you out there may be saying, I'm not sure what that means. What's she talking about, this blind market research? Well, some people are familiar with it, but let me tell you what it is. Blind market research is that the company, let's say your company retains a market research firm. The market research firm has an interviewer call up your prospects and customers. Well, the interviewer, the person actually asking the questions, doesn't know your company retained them. That way they can remove all bias in the question, all bias. So they can't have inflection in their voice, they can't have a leading question, they can't filter out what you say, they're just after the hardcore data. And so when the data comes back to the company, sometimes I get this, the customer will say, hey, wait a minute, that research says two of our customers said they wouldn't use this again. We want to know who those customers are. And we say, sorry, it's double blind. The way we get good unbiased data is telling the respondent on the phone, this is confidential, your answers will be aggregate, we're just trying to get a sense for what's important to customers who buy this product or service. It's not terribly expensive. It's actually very, very inexpensive when you consider the ROI. If your close rate were to go up a mere 10% tomorrow because you were in alignment with your customers, what would that net you? You know, most companies don't think about it this way. If you close another 10% in revenue and you've got fixed expenses, I have to assume that most companies today are not operating at full capacity. So if that is the case, your fixed expenses remain the same. You may have some variable expenses go up, and in some cases they may even go down depending on what you sell. That being the case, that 10% increase in revenue is pure gravy right to your bottom line. What's that number for your company? What's the ROI, the return on investment for doing this work? We've seen it be 10, 20, 30-fold for people, for some of the companies we've worked with. Very, very lucrative investment to get an alignment. So I want to encourage you to consider some solid market research for your company. Bring it back in-house. Talk to your teams about it. So, you know, after this radio show, if you want to go back and test some of the things I've said, go back and assemble your executive team. I always tell my clients this. Have a little fun. Go back and get your executive team. Get your sales team around the table. And ask them, what do you think our number one competitive advantage is? You got 15 people in the room. Guess how many answers you're going to get? Sorry to report, it's going to be close to 15. Now we know we've got some work to do, don't we? Then go out and ask your customers, what's most important to you? What's important when you're buying these services or these products? And when you find those answers and you find they're not in alignment with what your main sales pitch is, then you've got some work to do. It's critical that you get this work in alignment to close more. So I'm getting ready to close up here today, and I want to thank you for joining us. We're about at the end of the show, so thanks so much for joining us again. We're so happy again to be part of the 880 The Biz show. MindYourBizToday.com is the website. Send us your questions, send us your comments, send us your concerns, and we'll address them in the coming weeks. It's great being with you. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another great program here on 880 The Biz.